We now continue on with the non-Adamic race, non-Israel races. People brought up in today's Christian churches will probably have a conflict between what the Bible actually says and what they have been taught to believe. Many were brought up singing in Sunday school the song, "Red and Yellow, Black and White, All Are Precious in His Sight." I know I was brought up that way. This has given us the belief that our God treats everyone of every race exactly the same. This is blatantly wrong. The Bible does not support the brotherhood of man or universal redemption and eternal life for everyone, no matter the race. Reread chapter 1 about the sovereignty of God. In this book, it has been pointed out that there are certain ways where God does not treat everyone the same. Even amongst the tribes of Israel themselves, there are differences, so we will reconsider some of these treatments. The basis of God's judgment of non-Israel nations. When we read in John 1:17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth come by Jesus Christ," we have a problem because the law is spoken in connection with Abraham long before Moses was born. It is also clear that God judged other non-Israel nations. So what was the basis of the judgment? Some nations were judged before what some call the giving of the law. For example, Sodom. And some were judged afterwards. For example, Damascus, Gaza, Tyre, Ammon, Moab, and Edom. We find Jonah being sent to proclaim repentance to Nineveh. We find law and judgment in respect to Adam and Eve and the sacrifices made by Cain and Abel. To almost all Christians, there is a conflict about what the law means. In connection with Abraham, as we are told in Genesis 26:5, "Because that Abram obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." In the beginning of this book, many of the scriptures were listed to show that the total law, namely the commandments, statutes, and judgments, were given exclusively to Israel as part of a covenant. There were promises made and responsibilities given to Israel that were not made to other races. Before the addition of the law to Israel, Galatians 3:19, there were the promises made to the seed of Abraham through Isaac, the inheritance being made on the basis of promise and not the keeping of the law. Psalm 147:19 and 20 says, "He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and for his judgments they," that is the other nations, "have not known them." This verse is both limiting and specific and relates exclusively to Israel as a race. The word is dabar, or the spoken word. Statutes is chok, C-H-O-Q, which relates to commands in the sense of specific direction, charge, instruction, boundary, or limitation. Judgments is mishpat, which relates to a judicial verdict pronounced by God. It is strongly connected to justice. The Ten Commandments were given to Israel as part of a covenant are dabar, or spoken by God to the subject addressed. Deuteronomy 4:13, "And he declared unto you," that is Israel, "his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them on 2 tables of stones." In verse 14, Moses was commanded to teach statutes and judgments that ye might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. We are told that keeping these is why other nations would think and know that Israel was a great and a wise race. Here racial separation is demonstrated. It is a common perception that none of the law existed before it was given through Moses on Mount Horeb, but we have seen that God knew Abraham would obey the law. Reference to the requirement to obey the spoken words of God starts right back in Genesis. The scripture records that God did judge other races. When their iniquity was full, God destroyed them. Avon, in iniquity or punishment, that is the Hebrew or the Greek word, avon, is first found in regard to Cain in Genesis 4:13, and it has 236 occurrences in the Old Testament, most of which refer to Israel. One of the cities God destroyed for wickedness was Sodom. We read in Genesis 13:13 that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. To be wicked, a law must have existed, even if it was different from that given to Israel. The law of God was flouted in a way that was open, deliberate, and public. Isaiah 3:9 puts it this way, they declare their sin, they hide it not. Jeremiah 23:14 confirms this attitude in reference to those in Israel who were openly prophesying in Baal. This is the national attitude we find in Israel today, leading to a judgment that will be greater than that against Sodom. Lamentations 4:6 and Matthew 10:15. Ezekiel 16:49 describes the sins of Sodom as being pride, fullness of bread, that is, they were rich, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and were haughty and committed abomination before me. This is another picture of our society, where open abominations, including breaking, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Today this act is publicly accepted, legal, and open, as it was in Sodom. 2 Peter 2:6 and Jude 1:7 picture this and say that similar open abominations are being worthy of eternal fire. On top of this, Anglo-Saxon Israel is openly flouting the word God spoke to them, namely the Ten Commandments. So Sodom was judged against God's law for them, whatever they were. Concerning judgments against sundry non-Israel nations, when we look at the language of Amos, is expression, for three transgressions and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, is identical in wording as is the same for Israel as for non-Israel. The difference between Israel and the other races is the everlasting covenant God made with his elect. For Israel, God says, Ezekiel 16, 60-63, nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish with thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed, and I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never again thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified towards thee for all thou hast done, saith the Lord God. There is no such words addressed to any others but Israel. Racial differences. Because of scientific discovery in genetics, no one can pretend there is no racial differences between races. In fact, one newspaper, the Sydney Morning Herald, for 12 July 1997, reports that the latest issue of the journal Cell, C-E-L-L, carries a major breakthrough discovery, showing that analysis of DNA from the Neanderthal skeletal remains established there is no genetic connection between Neanderthal man and modern man. Where to now for the evolutionists and the blood brother crowd? Quoting from Time magazine on February 7, 1994, page 49 on genetics, the Human Genome Diversity Project, what we are doing is to make it possible for Saddam Hussein to collect blood samples from ethnic groups in Iraq who oppose him, so later they can be targeted with biological weapons. Subtle variations between races in white blood cell types mediate specific immune responses to disease. What about racism? One of the things peculiar to Western society, as opposed to any others, is the teaching that racism is totally wrong. Yet those who seek to enforce anti-discrimination laws, which include race, racial, national, or ethnic origin, and religion, will immediately jump to the support of modern Jewry as a special religious racial group. Even if modern Jewry is made up of people from many different races, it is not a race, certainly not Hebrew or Israel in race. In all Anglo-Israel countries from Europe and North America, as well as Australia and New Zealand, people are actively discouraged from even questioning events of history that might undermine the enforcer's determination of history in regard to the Jews. Their determination is very important to them, and as such, is in itself racist. What is it that they are trying so hard to either protect or to promote? Might it be their false presentation that the Jews are Israel? Might not this be the mechanism by which the prince of this world seeks to eliminate the right message of the Bible? In an earlier chapter, this was described as the master deception of Satan. Would it not be Satan who is saying that The potter does not make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor, as Scripture says. Anti-racism is saying that every person of every race is the same in the eyes of God, and therefore has to be in the eyes of all countries. The issue is multiculturalism, and this does not feature favorably through the Bible pages. Mixture of cultures is a source of conflict, both in religion and custom. Israel was separated from the other races for a purpose. For Israel, the biblical message is still, "Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord," in the New Testament. The people being addressed in Corinthians had the fathers, and were baptized unto Moses. 1 Corinthians 4:1, they were Israelites. Jeremiah 10:2-3, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen." The way is direct, which Strong gives as course of life or mode of action. We should not be teaching indigenous culture in our schools. We should not promote the culture and diets of other races as being acceptable to God's children, for many times their food they eat violate the laws of God for his people. Is God racist? Not one person can read the Old Testament without agreeing that God is shown to be totally racist. God discriminated on the grounds of race. God clearly treated races differently and even made differences between the tribes of Israel themselves. The children of Israel had a mission to eliminate the Canaanites, races right down to women, children, and even their animals. There are those whom God says he will eliminate when Jesus returns. He will destroy them at the brightness of his coming. The matter has to be faced. God was totally racist in the Old Testament, and we understand that he is unchanging for all time. Jesus tells us about those who are occupying the vineyard being Israel, those who are in charge, and who will be destroyed when he comes to take up his kingdom. We read of the armies of heaven, Revelation 19:15-19, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." We are reading of national armies and basically racist matters right here towards the end of the New Testament. Joel 3:2-17, "I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and have parted my land." At this late stage in history, Israel is a separate race among the other nations. God is still racist here and at this time. The context supplies the time, and so at the end, Israel is still the individual race it always has been. What about racial origins? Right from Genesis, we have this fact of the differing seeds of mankind. See the chapter titled Seeds, Natural and Spiritual. And it is a subject in both Testaments. There is no simple scriptural mechanism for determining which seed is which today. However, Jesus says, "By their fruit ye shall know them." It is the fruit that bears the seed. Jesus taught that a bad tree cannot ever bring forth good fruit. It is impossible for those of the bad seed to hear and to respond to the word of God. Jesus taught us this. The Apostle John speaks of those whose seed remaineth in him because he is born of God, 1 John 3:9. As Scripture uses trees as symbols of races, trees might be thought of as being family trees or genetic streams. The response to the word of the Lord is an indicator as to seed. The good is brought to belief by the indwelling Spirit of God. It is only in maturity that the type of fruit becomes obvious. An example of this is seen in the parable of the tares and the wheat. Throughout the Old Testament, we find references to certain peoples, like Canaanites, whom Israel was to destroy. We find differences between the people created in Genesis 1 and those who were formed in Genesis 2. There are differing prophecies as destinies for differing peoples. As has been pointed out earlier in this book, even each individual tribe of Israel has different prophecies for the latter days. It is fashionable to say that the Creator Christ came as Savior to all mankind, because all races are descended from the first created man, and that races began at the time of the Tower of Babel. But this is wrong. After Babel, we find a differing picture, for example. Genesis 19:37, "The same as the father of the Moabites." Genesis 19:38, "The same as the father of the children of Ammon." Genesis 36:9, "And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites." From this point on, through Scripture, each group with such a father is treated as being a different race with different destinies. each then are treated as being from differing stock.